Good afternoon, brothers. Did everyone get a handout from the back there? It's there. Okay. Feel free to grab one. We'll be using that as a guide to this conference. Perhaps no surprise, I'd like to begin again with our prayer, the act of consecration to the Holy Spirit, if you have one. Or look on with your neighbor, or pray along with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Spirit of God, before the great multitude of heavenly witnesses, I offer myself to you. I adore the brightness of your purity, the perfection of your justice, and the might of your love. You are the strength and light of my soul. In you I live and move and have my being. I desire to never grieve you by unfaithfulness to grace. Mercifully guard my every thought and grant that I may always watch for your light, listen to your voice, and follow your inspirations. I give myself to you and ask you, in your compassionate love, to watch over me in my weakness. Standing before the cross of Jesus, with trust in his precious blood flowing from his five wounds, I implore you, adorable Spirit, to grant me your grace that I may be kept from sin because it offends you. O Holy Spirit of the Father and the Son, helper of my infirmity, give me the grace to say to you, always and everywhere, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last night as we began, we talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Spirit desiring to find a place and a dwelling in our hearts. And this morning we talked about the Holy Spirit in leading us in our weakness to pray, both personally and communally, liturgically, and the Holy Spirit as the active life within the sacraments, along with the Father and the Son, the Holy Trinity working through the holy sacraments to touch us and to lead us and guide us. And in this final reflection, I thought that I would talk a little bit about living out our vocation in the power of the Holy Spirit, discerning, discovering, and living out our vocation. And are going to be kind of building off the side of your handout that says practical tips for discovering and living out your vocation. And then perhaps a little bit at the end, if we have time, about the other side, which is quotes from Pope Francis's exhortation, The Joy of the Gospel, which I particularly love this chapter, which he entitles Living as Spirit-Filled Evangelizers. And so just some quotes, some fodder for your prayer from Pope Francis himself. As I was looking through the catechism, I noticed something very simple, but I think profound, and it's Article 1699 in the catechism. It's the beginning of Part 3 of the catechism, Life in Christ, and it's the very first article, or one of the very first articles of the section 1, Man's Vocation, Life in the Spirit. And it simply says this, number 1699, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Life in the Holy Spirit fulfills the vocation of man. This life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity. It is graciously offered as salvation. Life in the Holy Spirit fulfills the vocation of man. So the very life of living in a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit is what it means to fulfill our vocation. What it means to live that universal vocation of holiness, and what will lead and guide us to our particular vocation or expression of that holiness in this world. That life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity. I like to think of that as the both and of the human and the divine, both of them together. The cross, the vertical and the horizontal axis meeting at the heart of Christ, who entered fully into our humanity while retaining his Godhead. Life in the Holy Spirit fulfills the vocation of man. And so the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in discovering what we were created for. Maybe more correctly said, who we were created for, which is our divine bridegroom, our spouse, our Lord, the Spirit, the Father, the Abba, the Holy Trinity. And so we build from there. We seek, as we grow in the life of the Spirit, to understand who we are, who we're called to be, really to become our true self. As the Catholic writer Matthew Kelly says, the best version of ourselves, that whom the Lord has created us to be. And I think that along the way in my own vocation, there have been some things that they're not earth-shattering, but I'd like to share with you practical tips for discovering and living out your vocation. Because many of you are still in that discernment stage of your call, and all of us are still in that stage of living out our vocation and our call. And as I share these, I'm also going to intersperse some of my own vocation story, some of my own journey along the way and what the Lord has taught me. The first is simply listen to the Holy Spirit speaking through prayer, the sacraments, community, and service. Lord, what are you saying to me through your sources of truth? How are you speaking to me? The Word of God, and even coming here for me, has renewed my desire to be more immersed in the Word of God, to be more knowledgeable and accessible to the Word of God so I can share it with others. The sacraments, how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the sacramental life? Through your own prayer, both liturgical, communal, personal, how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Through service, through the way you are able to touch others. And something that's particularly blessed me is through others. What is God saying to you through the people in your life? I had the blessing of serving for a year with Net Ministries, a Catholic evangelization apostolate out of Minnesota, basically traveling around the country doing retreats for young people. And Net Ministries sends teams of 10 to 12 young adults to dioceses across the United States. And you live very intentionally within community. You live out of a suitcase, and you move from place to place, and you get to know each other quite well as you go along the way. And I remember towards the end of that year, my team coming to me and saying, we could see you as a priest, or at least a couple people on the team. Now, my first reaction, to be very honest, was, what do you think, I can't get a girlfriend? That was the first reaction I had. And they said, no, it's not a lack in you, it's we see the qualities that might make a good priest. And I had thought about the priesthood. I'm not going to say religious life, because I didn't think of religious life at first. I actually thought about priesthood first, and later felt a call to a Franciscan vocation. But when they said that, we see these qualities in you, and they said, we see that you like to lead people in prayer. You know, you seem to be the one who wants to meet the priests and the religious first when we get to the places we go to. You like talking to people and you have that temperament. I began to think more about it. I began to consider it. And maybe you had people say that to you, or maybe you didn't. But they saw something in me, and God used what they saw in me that I didn't yet see. Don't undervalue the work of the Holy Spirit speaking through the other people in your life who know you. They're not always right. They're not infallible. But people can, with good intention, help to lead you and guide you, and that can be the Holy Spirit speaking and working. Action produces clarity. I didn't come up with this one, but it's really been a blessing for me, and I've tried to share it. Action produces clarity. You have to take a step. I used to run marathons. A marathon is 26.2 miles. If you think about that too much, you won't run marathons. If you decide, I'm just going to take it one step at a time, just don't calculate the steps, you have a much better chance. You have to take it a step at a time. You have to move forward. You have to take it mile by mile. You have to take it as it comes. But you have to move forward. You have to take some action. You know, when I speak to young men, sometimes they'll say, you have to ask the girl on a date. You have to go on the come and see weekend. You have to talk to the priest, the bishop, the friar. You have to step out. And I commend and praise the Lord, first and foremost, but also thank you, men, for doing that. Taking an action that brought you here at this point in your lives. Many different ages, experiences, background, and it took courage for each of you. And I'm proud of you for that courage that it took and continues to take. Every day you continue the journey. But a little bit of action reveals more. A little bit of action allows God to work more. Even when Peter stepped out of the boat onto the waves, and about three or four steps in might have regretted that, as the waves and the swell made him aware of it around him and he took his eyes off the Lord. The Lord was right there. And it wasn't a failure. It wasn't a lack. Yes, he was rebuked for a lack of faith. But I think in the end, I think if Peter looked back at his life, he wouldn't have done anything differently. He stepped out, and then he was allowed to meet the mercy of the Lord. So keep stepping out. Keep being vulnerable. Vulnerable to the Lord in prayer. Vulnerable to each other. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect. The Lord wants to work his holiness in you, day by day, step by step. And as you take a step, you know a little bit more. And I think for me, I had to take a step. I had to step out. And I went to the people I knew, the friars, who I had met at Franciscan University of Steubenville, where I was a student. And I went to them, and I went there, and I looked, and I went on a retreat weekend, and I disobeyed the advice that I would later give as a vocation director to many. I didn't look anywhere else. I just felt, this is where I'm called, I think, at least to apply. I don't know. I even went to postulancy thinking, maybe I'll get married, maybe I'll have kids. That's where I was at. But I knew the Lord was saying, take a step. Apply. If you're accepted, go. See what happens. And some people know for sure. They have this call and they're like, okay, I can't really say that in my own experience. It was more for me that the Lord gave me information as I needed to know it. And usually it wasn't as much information as I wanted. So it kept me leaning on Him, depending on Him for more. Exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you discern and live out your vocation. And look for the fruits of the Spirit as signs of confirmation of the Lord's working. We're called to that. In the Scriptures, the classic gifts of the Spirit mentioned in Isaiah. We also have the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes called the charismatic gifts, mentioned in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We have the call, priests, pastor the different calls of service, the gifts and charisms listed in Ephesians, if I remember, or Romans. There are many places in the scriptures where we can meditate on what are the gifts that God wants to give us, and that's something that is worth considering and thinking about. And the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, gentleness. Is the Spirit bearing fruit in your life? Looking at that, looking at what that means. When I was a freshman at the Franciscan University of Steubenville, I went on what they call, at the time at least, a Born in the Spirit retreat. And it was sort of a Life in the Spirit seminar tailored to college students. And it was not unknown to me. My family, my parents had been a part of a charismatic prayer group. It was funny because we had to lead prayers at dinner when we were very young, and we would hear prayer meetings. I just thought that was like a normal part of life. And then one day I was like, oh, no, not everybody prays in tongues or gets asked to lead prayer at dinner, like spontaneously. It was actually funny when I was ordained a priest. I think a lot of new priests, what they're maybe most nervous about is preaching. I wasn't really nervous about preaching. I was nervous about the logistics of the Mass. Because that part of my life had just been emphasized more. But anyway, back to my story. I was on this retreat, and it was interesting. The students were praying with us towards the end of this retreat, and they said to me, they had prayed in advance that the Lord might reveal to them a gift that he might wish to give us. They weren't like, hey, this is what God said. But they prayed and they said, this is what we sensed as we prayed together and waited upon the Lord and listened. And the gift that they said to me was mighty deeds or miracles. Now, when they said this to me, I was polite. I said, oh, thank you. And in my heart, I thought, no way. As a freshman at the University of Steubenville, I was a very shy, reticent, passive person. I was not one who liked to get up in front of the public, not one who wanted to stand out. And so the idea of doing miracles didn't seem to fit my temperament, my personality, who I was, what I was called to be. But I said, okay, Lord, that's what they think, then I'll be polite and also just try to trust. And I prayed, and they prayed with me, and nothing outwardly miraculous happened. Nothing earth-shattering happened that day. But years later, I would look back on that prayer for the gift of mighty deeds, and I would see that God had fulfilled that in a very real way. Because actually, I started to really grow in confidence and in my ability to step out at the university. And someone could say, well, that's just nice, that was natural, but it was almost like God had given me that gift, that grace, to push me out of my shell. I became a leader of my faith household, a fraternity of men who gathered to pray. I became a leader in some of activities on campus, working with ministries like the Big Brother and Big Sister program. And I became more bold in different ways, more bold in sharing my faith and in who I was. And then I decided to take this year to do Net Ministries, where I knew I might be speaking in front of hundreds of people at once, which at one time, to me, would have been inconceivable. And yet, to step out and do that, and then eventually to be called to be a religious, a Franciscan friar, and a priest. And then one day it dawned on me after I was ordained, what is more miraculous than confecting the Eucharist? What is more miraculous than saying, I absolve you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit? It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. Every time that happens. So priests are men of miracles. Men who become the mediation of the power and the strength and the healing and the life of the Holy Spirit. I hope that moves you. I hope it scares you a little bit, but also excites you. Makes you passionate. Because that perhaps is what the Lord is inviting you to. And to do that, we need the gifts and the fruits and the graces and the charisms of the Holy Spirit in our own life, whatever they may be. And you have them by virtue of your baptism and by virtue of your sonship in Christ. The fourth point is to be patient with yourself and others and with God and His plan. This is a tough one. It's hard. It's a process. I found personally, and this is not just even in terms of vocation, but even your life and your growth as a human being, as a man, as a son of God. A lot of my 30s were spent growing in ways that I would have thought I would have dealt with as a teenager and young adult. Areas of my own sexuality, masculinity, areas that I just hadn't dealt with before. I hadn't really looked at, I hadn't had the support to look at and to look at through the eyes of grace. And I went through some difficult times in my discernment of vocation. I was ready to profess my solemn vows in 2005. And when I finished the end of a year teaching high school, which was a tough year, Sarah Catholic High School in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. Some of you in the Pittsburgh Diocese might be familiar with it. I knew that I wasn't ready. It wasn't that I wanted to leave the Franciscans, but I didn't feel I could authentically profess my solemn vows. But I didn't know why. The community gave me a year and encouraged me to meet with someone for some counseling. I got connected to someone you might have heard of, Father Tom Acklin. And that was powerful for me to journey with Father Tom and to share a little bit of my life and some of my wounds. You see, in high school, I had not had the most positive experience. I had been bullied, I had been belittled. And some of that belittling was very cruel, and it was really crude guy stuff. Like, basically, your parts are not big enough. You're not good. You're not a man enough. And I kind of shrugged it off, and I fought back, but I realized that I internalized that at a deep level. And I was wounded. I was really wounded. And the Lord had to work with that woundedness. And I wasn't ready to give a complete gift of self when I didn't really see myself as lovable, when I didn't see myself as good, when I didn't see myself as manly enough, masculine enough. And I remember the day I was meeting with Father Tom, and he looked at me, and with that deep voice of his, he said, "You know, there's nothing wrong with you." And I looked at him and kind of, yeah. No, and then he said it again, looked at me real deeply. "There's nothing wrong with you." And I think he went on to basically say, what's wrong with you, if there is something, is you think there's something wrong with you. And that was very powerful for me because I needed freedom. I needed truth. I needed to start to accept the truth over the lies. At the same time, I had this dream. It's interesting. And in this dream, I was in a pond. The pond was frozen, and I was sort of submerged under the ice, but not all the way at the bottom. If you remember those old cartoons where do you remember, like, the saber-toothed tiger was frozen intact in the ice? You know what I'm talking about, like prehistoric. It was like a storm came so quick, all of a sudden the animals in motion. I was like that. I was alive, but I was encased in ice. All of a sudden I just thought of Han Solo, Star Wars. I was like encased. And it was interesting. I had that dream during this time that I was going through this. And then I had another dream, and the dream was someone punching through the ice. And what started to happen was several times I had this dream that corresponded, I think, with what was happening in my life, where basically the Lord was freeing me from the ice I was encased in. The ice of my own self-hatred, the ice of my own self-criticism, my own stuff. And the Lord knew that I wasn't ready. But when the time came, after that process and many, many other things happened, then I knew I was ready to profess my solemn vows and ready to move forward. And I've never had a regret about waiting, because that time was graced, it was blessed, it was painful, but it was such a gift. And then later I would think about it, and I would remember the line from the Pentecost sequence, which I love: melt the frozen, warm the chill. And I realized that that's what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life. The Holy Spirit was melting the ice and warming my heart, warming my body, warming my whole being with his love, with his life. It was like he was pulling me out of that pond. And when you come out of a pond in the ice, you almost have hypothermia. And he was pulling me next to a fire and slowly reviving my life. And that process still continues of healing and grace. And it's not a process that was of my initiative or is of my efforts. So if you are going through that process or have or will, know that that is a gift. And know that the Lord is with you in that. Do I view my vocation as a project to be completed or a process to be open to God's Holy Spirit bringing new life in me? And we're invited to view it as a process to be open to God's Holy Spirit bringing new life. I've always told men that if you might be struggling a lot in seminary or religious formation, but a good question to ask yourself is, am I growing? Because a struggle doesn't necessarily, or a time of desolation doesn't necessarily mean God's calling you elsewhere. It can be exactly in that struggle and that desolation that God is producing the growth. Because affliction, as he says, and Paul says in the letter to the Romans, produces an endurance. And endurance produces hope. And hope is a gift of the Spirit of God in our lives. I also think that something that's very, very important is to stay close and to be authentic and honest with your spiritual directors and your formators. Open your life to them in trust, even when it is hard. Trust that God has sent them into your life to walk with you, to journey with you, to be with you. Let them be a guidance and a strength, and sometimes even a cross, but maybe the cross that God wants to give you and lead you to. And give thanks back to the Lord. Do you take time to thank the Lord for where you are and where he may be leading you? Are we like that one leper who recognizes he was touched and goes back, even when the other nine do not? Do we return thanks and praise to the Lord for what he's done in our life? At the bottom of your page there, you'll see a little card. And if you can imagine, this was sort of a little holy card. It was, I think, created by my friend, and I know friend of Father Boniface, Father Lester. You may know Father Lester Noel, Capuchin friar. And it simply says, St. Francis said, "The Lord himself showed me what I ought to do." How did St. Francis know what he ought to do? And on the other side is this beautiful prayer from Cardinal Mercier, where he says, "Every day take 5 minutes, quiet yourself, and recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, and address that Holy Spirit." If you're looking for a great way to begin your own personal prayer each day or from time to time, I would recommend this prayer that allows you to decompress for a moment, just be still, to try to slow down the mind motor that's always going so fast. And then just to pray this prayer, invoking the Spirit, recognizing that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. As you live this out, it will lead you to be Spirit-filled evangelizers. It will lead you to be men who share the gospel, who continue to share life. Because as Pope Francis says, you and I are a mission on this earth. He says, and that is the reason why I am here in this world. We have to regard ourselves as sealed, even branded, by this mission of bringing light, blessing, enlivening, raising up, healing, and freeing. Do you want to know if the Holy Spirit is active in you? That's a good examination. Am I bringing light? Am I blessing? Am I enlivening? Am I raising up? Am I healing? Am I freeing others through my contact with them? It's been such a blessing to be with you, brothers, and again, such a blessing to share a little bit in your life and to pray with you. We have a much smaller community in our house, which is a blessing and a gift, but to pray and to hear your voices and to see your zeal and your desire and your openness. So don't lose heart and don't be discouraged, because the Lord who led you here will continue to be with you and continue to guide you and strengthen you. And I would just like to close by asking that same Lord to bless you this day. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, I ask your blessing upon these, my brothers, these, your sons, these men who have the gift of your Holy Spirit. Pour out that Holy Spirit like the rain we hear in the background, especially on any parts of their hearts that are barren, cracked, and dry. Let your Holy Spirit, like a rain, saturate and touch them. Let it restore them and renew them and strengthen them. Continue to form them in spirit, in mind and body. Configure them, Father, to your Son through the Spirit. May Almighty God bless you this day and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.